Let me transition, and then we'll dive in to the sermon. I pray, God, as we sang, that we would be awake to your presence today, that whatever distractions we walked in here with would leave us supernaturally, that as we open up your scripture, God, your inspired word, your perfect word, that we would learn from it, not just to gain information in our heads, but to be transformed in our lives. I pray, God, for a fresh gift of teaching, for boldness as I communicate your word today. I thank you, God, for guiding me in my sermon prep, and I pray that just carry me along as I communicate today. Amen. Hey, so as I shared last Sunday, if you were here, we hope you come to our church service every Sunday, but I meant a week ago, if you can only come one time for the entire year, this would be the Sunday I really want you here, and so I'm glad you're here. If you're a guest today, maybe you're a first-time attender, glad you're here as well. Would invite you to sit in and kind of hear the conversation I'll be having with the core of our church family. The reason that I'm glad everyone is here today, as well as those who are going to hear this on the podcast and online, is because we're not in an ordinary time in the church. This is a very unique time. This is a very special time. This is where our church has been around for 7 years, and I feel like everything that we've been has been leading up to now. So I mentioned a week ago, we had a board meeting on Saturday, January 6th, supposed to be a 3-hour meeting, lasted 5 hours, and it was a great meeting. And the reason we spent a lot of extra time talking was regarding the building purchase. And we felt like, as an action step of taking this process one step at a time, we wanted to invite you in on that conversation, invite you in on the journey that we have kind of the insider scoop on, being on the board. And so the question we had, and we really processed this, was what's the best way to communicate this? What's the best format? What's the best time to update everybody? We discussed maybe we do a series of Q&A sessions, maybe in the fellowship hall, after church, over the next month. Maybe we talked about having a dozen or so family meetings, meeting people's homes over the next month or so. But in the end, we realized we wanted as many people here and here at once, if possible, and we knew it Sunday mornings during church in the sanctuary is when most people are here, which is evidence of you being here. And so we wanted to bring everybody in. And so today in my sermon, I'm going to do my sermon just like I always do. We're going to open up the scriptures. We're going to dig deep. There's going to be a series of action steps for you to personally apply to your life. So that's not any different. But I'm also going to give you some updates throughout the sermon. Kind of the through line is the journey our church has been on, not just since we launched, but through the building, seeking, and purchasing process. And again, we felt as an advisory board, as an executive, we want everyone to hear. And so I want to begin by giving you the timeline I shared last week, where we're at in the process, the timeline we're calling to move home. We're in the process of buying, again, it's a 27,000 square foot piece of property at the corner of 24 Mile and Shelby Road, and it's connected to another parcel building, so we have to create a condo, very common for that to happen. It takes some time and money to do that, so that's going to be over the next month. The plan then is to close on the building, sign the dotted line formally in about a month from now, and then begin the build-out, which will take somewhere from 3 to 6 months. We're not sure of the details yet, but then move in late summer, and that's kind of the timeline we have. We'll be able to really give you more solid dates once we solidify some things. And I shared last week, those are 4 steps on the horizon, but they're not 4 easy steps. It's not just downhill to get from here to there. There's some challenges we've ran into, and we wanted to share those with you because we're a family, and that's what families do. They have talks when they need to, conversations. And so my goal today is to be as open and honest, just to invite you in on the journey, because as I shared, it's not just the prayers of 6 to 8 people on the leadership team that are needed to get us in the building. It's not just the faith of 6 people to get us in the building. It's all of our faith. It's all of our prayers. Thank you. And I decided to title this sermon, Family on Mission. And I decided to share the news today in the form of a story, because God's word is a story, and we are created for story. And so just like a book, there's going to be chapters in my sermon. And if I had to title the book of our church, I would call it The Unfolding God Story. And chapter one I'm titling, You Jump First, which will make sense as I communicate. So when Kelly and I felt called by God to plant this church, we didn't want it to be just like any other church. We knew it would impact every area of our lives, from our marriage to our free time, to our kids, to our security, everything. And we knew that it would only be worth that, worth pouring our lives into that, if we couldn't do it on our own. That if we could do it by our own strength, our own wisdom, our own ability, it wouldn't be worth it. It'd only be worth it if it was something that only God could do through his strength, his power, his wisdom. So that's what we set out to do when we launched a church back in 2010. We looked at a verse in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus is talking to Peter, and then he says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. So one of the prayers that we prayed since the beginning was we said, Jesus, you said this is your church. The church crossed the world, it's your church. It's not ours, it's yours. And you said you'd build it. So we're going to stand on that promise. Jesus, may you build it. May you build this local expression of your body. And Jesus, may you show us how we can partner with what you're doing. And may you give us the faith to trust you. And the reason why we knew we needed a greater faith level than we had when we launched is because of what I'm calling the church planting State of the Union back in fall of 2010. Here's a bullet point list of just some of what was going on, not only in the country, but in our lives in the fall of 2010 as our church was launching. There's an article that I found in online in from February 2010, quite ominous title, 20 reasons why the U.S. economy is dying and is simply not going to recover. Isn't that great? 20 reasons, like, dun, dun, that's it, doom and gloom. Our economy is collapsing. This is back in 2010, right? I'm not sure if this article is still available, but anyway. But that was the state of the economy, if you remember that, in 2010. If you could go back, Archana, to the previous slide. Top of that, Kelly and I, when we launched church, had no guaranteed funding to help make this church happen financially. And on top of that, there was a location that we thought we were going to meet at, and that fell through. And on top of all that, Kelly was pregnant with baby number three, which turned out to be Elizabeth Juliet. But instead of being filled with fear, all those circumstances filled us with faith. They did. We wouldn't have done it otherwise. We felt that this church was going to be a God story, an unfolding God story. We knew that God needed to show up with all those things in the world kind of stacked against us, so to speak. And if God didn't show up, we were toast. Here's the word picture I truly felt God gave me. Planting this church was like standing on the end of the 10-meter high dive platform that we see in the Summer Games and the Olympics. So here's Kelly and I, 10-meter platform. We're on the edge of it. I'm afraid of heights, by the way. We look down. There's no water in the pool. No water in the pool. We told God, if you fill the pool, then we'll jump. And God said, you jump first. And then I'll fill it. I felt he gave me that word. That's exactly what we did. We jumped on faith. That's exactly what God did. He filled the pool. He's faithful. He proved himself faithful. He gave us a place to meet at Heritage Church in Sterling Heights. He provided for the church financially in supernatural ways. God moved mountains. Don't have time to talk about it today, but he moved mountains. God provided incredible people like Bill and Sharon Will. It's the core team of people that I'm looking at, an army of folks, to help make church happen. And so before I get to the next chapter, I want to give you, and throughout my sermon, a set of personal action steps for you to apply. And the first one is an action step that mirrors the journey that Kelly and I were on and are still on as we've launched this church and continue to press into it. Here's the action step. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. So for you just to think through and process and pray through is in the area of your life, an area of your life where there is fear, and your faith needs to get bigger. And a great prayer to pray would be, God, turn that action step into a prayer. Let my faith become bigger than my fear. Maybe you ask God for a gift of greater faith, and you can pray that 100 times a day. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. So he launched a church in 2010. More I could say about that, but I want to get to the next chapter. And the next chapter doesn't continue on 2010. I have to take you back to 2006, 4 years earlier. Because God was doing something back then that we didn't really realize what God was doing. And that's what God does a lot. He's always at work behind the scenes. So this is actually what I call chapter zero, because it takes place before chapter one. And it's prayer walks starting in 2006. There's something you can find in the Bible throughout the scripture where people walk around a particular place and God gives them the land where they are. A couple examples of that in the Old Testament. God tells in chapter 1, 3 of Joshua, I will give you, Joshua, every place where you set foot as I promised Moses. And then a few chapters later in chapter 6, it's not just, hey, walk around, it's circle Jericho. Chapter 6 of Joshua, verses 2 and 3, the Lord said to Joshua, look, I have handed Jericho its king, its best soldiers over to you. God said, I'm done that. But you need to do something. By faith, march around the city. March around the city with all the men of war, circling the city one time, do this for 6 days, and the walls fall. So Christians have taken passages like this, again, found throughout Scripture, and they've come up with the concept of what's called a prayer walk, where you walk and you pray as you walk. And you trust by faith that things are happening supernaturally in the supernatural realm we can't even imagine, but power is getting unleashed when we pray. So back in 2006, Kelly and I lived off of a 24-mile between DeQuinder and Shelby Road. And in the summertime, we like to go for walks. And one of my Achilles heels are Slurpees from 7-Eleven. And so on more than one occasion, I'm not going to say how many times, I actually don't remember, but we walked down 24-mile to the 7-Eleven at the corner of 24-mile and Shelby Road. And I don't know when it started, but one of the times we went for that walk, we were talking out loud about planting a church. Again, this is back in 2006. We launched in 2010, just having conversations about dreaming one day, possibly, is God calling us to this and planting a church. And one of the times we were having this conversation, we saw the sign about this vacant building, kitty corner from the 7-Eleven. Here's a picture of it. 29,000 square feet for lease, we'll divide. Pilot Realty. And so we had our Slurpees in hand, crossed the street, walked over to that building, looked inside the windows and thought, man, this would be a great place for a church. We knew it was a closed down Farmer Jack from 99. And so we laid hands on the doors, we prayed something along these lines. That God, if you would call us to plant a church someday, would you give us a building like this one? Not making this up. And then we walked in a prayer walk, because there's kind of an alley behind, and walked around the building and prayed as we walked. And we didn't do that, by the way, every time we went to 7-Eleven for Slurpees, but we did a number of times. And at the time, we thought that property was symbolic. It was simply symbolic. Again, our prayer was, God, one day, would you give us a prayer or give us a building like this one? So that's where we're praying. Heaven's moving. We don't even realize it. So we did prayer walks then. That was just Kelly and I. Then our daughter, Faith, who is now 10 years old, Faith Sophia, she was born. We pushed in her stroller, and we began to have her join us on prayer walks. Here's a picture of her back then. That's Faith. Isn't that awesome? Kind of fun. It was a journey of faith, and it was a journey with faith, literally. There she was. So keep that in mind as I turn the page to chapter three, but before I do, I want to give you another personal action step, just for you to process through, of where do you need to do a prayer walk? Maybe it's where you work. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's inside and around your house. Maybe it's somewhere else. Where you don't just go for a walk, but you pray as you walk. And if you don't want people to think you're crazy, you can put like an earbud in your ear and maybe hold your phone so you act like you're on the phone as you're talking. That's chapter zero. I talked about chapter one, now I want to get to chapter two, which I call Now is the Time. This chapter takes place 10 years after our last chapter. We're now in 2016. There's an advisory meeting. It's September the 18th of 2016. Turned out to be this defining moment for our church. We did not expect, but one that God made happen. When we pray in our board meetings, it's not just a 10 or 20 second opening prayer. We pray for 10 to 20 minutes up front. And Dave and Chris Carlson are on our executive team. They were there too. So we had 8 people in the room that day, and we just prayed. I believe prayer, by the way, in that part of the meeting is the most important part of the meeting. So we got done praying, and we began talking about what was called the building task force back then, and we were looking at just various options that we were exploring about what would come after Shelby Junior High, because we were at the time leasing Shelby Junior High and Van Dyke by 23 Mile for 5 hours on a Sunday morning. And the words I'm about to share don't do justice to what happened that day in the room we were in, but I felt like there was a shift in the atmosphere. There wasn't this voice that boomed from heaven, but we strongly felt God say these 4 words to us: now is the time. That now was the time God was releasing us to go full steam ahead with getting a building. And that was the first time in the history of our church we were released by God to do this. And in particular, we felt released by God to begin raising the funds we would need to get in the building after Shelby Junior High. A key verse for us was Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. Forget the former things. This is God speaking. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Now that scripture was key for us back when we were in pre-launch of the church. And it became a word from God to us once again. God was doing a new thing in our church. We were entering a new season, going from being portable to permanent. We knew that being portable was a necessary step, didn't know how long that season was going to last. So every once in a while, when we're in board meetings, we'd have it on the agenda item, hey, what about getting a building of our own? And we would talk about it for a little bit, but we kind of felt like we were in a holding pattern. We didn't want to get ahead of God. So we waited and we prayed and we waited, but on that day, we felt like the waiting was over. God was doing a new thing. We were entering a new season to go from being portable to permanent. Now again, for you personally, an action step. What new thing is God doing in your life? But you may not be able to see it because you're dwelling on the past. And again, just to pray through Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, phrase by phrase, be a great action step for you to do. Just to press into that one. What new thing is God doing in your life? But you may not see it because you're dwelling on the past. Next chapter in our story, I call Family on Mission. Almost exactly 1 year ago, we kicked off a series that was a first for our church called Family on Mission, because not only was it a series, it was a giving campaign. And the key verse we had on the back of our t-shirts was 2 Corinthians 5:7, where Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And again, great scripture to memorize, great one to have a plaque on the wall, on the back of your t-shirt, but I asked the question over and over again, what if we truly believe those words? What if we learn to live every moment of our lives, not relying on our own strength, our own power, our wisdom, but what if we walked by faith, truly? And what if we pursued this, not just as individual sons and daughters of Father God, but together in community as a family? And so again, an action step for you, and I'm giving you a bunch of them. Just grab the ones that stick and press into those. But here's a question for reflection for you personally. What step of faith would you take this year in 2018 if you didn't rely on your eyes, if you walk by faith and not by sight? What would you say? What would you do? Maybe it's a big thing. Maybe it's a not so big thing. But what step of faith would you take this year? Pray through that one for a while. So last January, we kicked off Family on Mission. We invited folks to pledge for 3 years so we could have the funds we needed to buy a building. March 19th, thanks to Pete Wardrobe. Pete made this awesome house. This is our pledge box. And if you're there today, people walked in, they walked up front, and they put their pledges right there in the slot for a three-year pledge. And the grand total blew me out of the water. Here's the total. $696,000 was pledged by our church family. Come on! That was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Pledge card grand total. Brought me to tears. I remember Jack walked up on stage and gave me... It put us in a position, the position we knew we needed to move beyond being portable to permanent. We knew prior to the campaign, through the best estimates, we needed at least $400,000 to move ahead. So now we had the money pledged. We just needed the building to buy it, right? So the building search kicked into high gear. Our team followed up with various leads. And as I shared last March, and Beth, I remember when I shared this, I said, we were thankful for options. And you said that. We're thankful for options that we are pursuing as we continued to walk by faith. Now we get to one of the fun chapters. These are all fun. This is a fun chapter. I call it favor, favor, and more favor. Chapter 4. There again is a theme found throughout Scripture about the favor of God, where God chooses in his sovereignty to give his favor to someone just because he's God, and God can do that. A couple examples. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And then in Leviticus, chapter 26, verse 9, you guys probably already have this one memorized because it's in Leviticus, and y'all read that a lot. God says, I will look on you with favor, and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. So sometimes just God looks down and goes, giving you favor. Other times in Scripture, people ask for God's favor and they receive it. One example, the book of Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 31, he says, remember me with favor, oh my God. He's initiating that. And the concept of God's favor, it's an application of one of my favorite verses of Scripture found in 2 Chronicles 16, 9. It says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So when God looks down from heaven, we launch a church. We want God's eyes as he's ranging throughout the earth to stop on Eastside Vineyard and lock in on Eastside Vineyard and to strengthen us and to give us favor because we were pursuing him with everything. It's what we wanted. And that's what's happening. We're doing this together. And God has given us favor again and again and again. Before I talk about that with regard to the building, I have to give you another action step. Where do you need to pray that God gives you favor? Again, that's not selfish, like God give me favor to like buy a Maserati favor, right? But it's God for your glory. God for your glory. God, how can I advance? Can God use me? So we looked at buildings over the past year. And as we looked at buildings in our board meetings, our executive team meetings, the location at 24 Mile and Shelby, where we did our prayer walks 10 years earlier, began to bubble up. Again, here's the sign. There's a lot of background with how this location in particular bubbled up. Don't have time to share today, but it was not by coincidence. Maybe I'll talk more about that next week. What we did, we reached out in May of this past year to the building owner just to begin a conversation. And at first we weren't sure, is this conversation going to go anywhere? But we decided, like the spiritual journey, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, one step at a time, one step at a time. And so when it came to the building purchase, God began to open door. We took a step, open door, favor, again, again, again. And here's just some ways, a partial list. That's a fun list. First of all, the owner of this property was willing to work with a church. And trust me, we found out that building owners don't have to do that. Right, Dave? But they were friendly to the idea. And if they weren't friendly with converting this to a church, then end of the conversation. But God gave us favor. And then they were willing to sell us a portion of the building even though the sign out front only said, for lease. And we really didn't feel led to sink a ton of money into a lease building. We wanted to buy it. And this is a biggie. We were able to agree on a purchase price. That if the owners wanted a lot more than what we thought it was worth, end of conversation, could have killed the deal just as the beginning, but God gave us favor. We landed on a price. It was a win-win. We agreed to terms of making it a land contract purchase, which I didn't even know what one of those were until Dave and Chris Carlson kind of brought me up to speed. But that was a huge gate that we had to pass through. And we did. God's favor. Well, then when it came to Shelby Township, this property, right, it was a grocery store. It had to be rezoned for church use. And again, if it wasn't, closed door. Be dead in the water. But it was approved unanimously. It was an awesome moment this past summer. So now it's been rezoned, but then we run into what would could have been a potential buzzsaw, where because of the construction type of the building, I don't know, it was 3B, 4A, I don't even know what the numbers are, but because of the construction of the building, there was discussions about our need to install a firewall that would cost upwards of $90,000 between our portion of the condo and the rest of the building. And if they mandated that, that would have basically made it unaffordable. So we prayed, and a number of you prayed, asking God for favor, and we got it. We had a meeting with the Construction Board of Appeals, Shelby Township, and they decided we didn't need a firewall. There were other protection things we can put in place to keep everyone just as safe. And instead of costing us $90,000 up front to bring things, quote-unquote, up to code, it was just a few thousand dollars needed up front. So again and again and again, we received God's favor. And again, that's a list. I'm not even going to talk about the roof and septic tank environmental study, but just things went well with due diligence. So we're sailing along in this process. It was not easy by a long shot, but we were sailing. And keep that word picture in mind as I call the next chapter of the unfolding God story, headwinds. It's my attempt at humor. A headwind is a wind blowing directly from in front, opposing forward motion. We signed a purchase agreement on August the 14th. And over the next few months, there was a ton of work going on behind the scenes. Dave and Chris Carlson, I don't know, where's Chris? Because I wanted to honor her and you, and I don't know where she is, but you're here. Dave and Chris Carlson, can you stand up and just turn around? Yeah. Dave and Chris work crazy hours, still work crazy hours behind the scenes, just making it happen. They have engineering management backgrounds, which are coming incredibly handy because it's a huge project that needs to be managed. They were able to get detailed build-out information from three different churches, like real numbers from churches that bought buildings kind of like ours and converted existing buildings into churches. And so that information was incredibly helpful to know how much things should cost. At the same time, we're meeting with an architect, parallel path and everything, and the architect's cautioning us that the economy is very strong, and because of that, built what's called a build-out, converting again from a grocery store to a church, that's a build-out, that costs are going up. And because there was those things called hurricanes in Puerto Rico, Texas, Florida, just material costs are up, labor costs are up, supply and demand, skilled trades. So we began to design the building accordingly into two phases. Okay, so we have 27,000 square feet of usable space, and let's do phase one, phase two. Phase one will be about 13,000 square feet. Phase two will be the remainder. And we've had drawings in the lobby for the past month to have you take a look at how it's broken up. So our goal to build out what we called phase one, again, 13,000 square feet, was about $500,000. And that would we'd be able to pay cash for that. So then we designed, redesigned, redesigned to land on a design that we felt like would be a picture of what our church is, which, yeah, church, we love what we do on a Sunday morning, but we want to use the building, bless the community all week long, and so we need to have a design that does that. And so we finally land on a design, then the process is to ask to go to what's called an estimating contractor, see, well, what's this going to build out actually cost? So on December the 10th, we got our first estimate, the first build-out estimate, December 10th, and it came in at over $1 million. $1,067,628. Now, again, our goal was to build this thing out for $500,000, phase one. The estimate comes in twice that. Now, again, don't want to go into all the details, but basically what they said was what's going on, again, with the economy is build-out costs have gone up about 60% over the last year, and they're not going down. So Dave and Chris Carlson crunched the numbers, and based on what our church had in the bank and what we had pledged during the family on mission campaign, we estimated what's going to be our cash flow shortfall, and they estimated that on December 12th at $515,128. Again, a lot of number crunching and spreadsheets went into that. And when we got that number from the contractor of over $1 million, when we got that news from Dave and Chris, what the shortfall was, we felt that. Maybe you're feeling that right now. Like, man, headwinds, pretty good chapter title, Dan. Seems quite apropos. So we said, all right, well, we have some data, and I want you to pray into it and just take some steps, one step at a time, left foot, right foot, one step at a time. So on December the 13th, day of a massive snowstorm, Dave and Chris and I drove out to our architects in Troy, had a ton of fun driving home, side story. But we met with the architect, we met with the estimating contractor, just to better understand the estimates, to understand how accurate, like how round are the numbers, how much fat is in those numbers, and how can we cut costs. They said, it was a great meeting, that they're going to send a team of a half a dozen people the week before Christmas, skilled trades, engineering, out to the building to take a much closer, fine-tooth comb kind of look at the building and to see how can they reduce the estimates. So on December the 17th, after church, we had a board meeting right on the other side of this wall here, and we discussed, well, what do we do? Because this is the numbers we have right now. And we decided we need to pray and wait until we see what the contractor comes back with. And as an action step of that, I wrote a one-page document called Prayer Points. I sent out that email asking people to begin praying and stating in there the building estimates are coming in a lot higher than expected. Just please pray. See what happens. Pray for favor. So in early January, on the 5th of January, we got that information back from the contractor and his team. And here's the new number that we got. It was $922,295. A better number. A savings of over $145,000. Like things going in the right direction. But even with that cost reduction, the cash shortfall was still significant. So that's chapter 5 of our story. There's more chapters, by the way. So. And now I can better understand why I called it headwinds. We knew buying a building wasn't going to be easy. We know that the devil comes to steal, kill, destroy, and Satan hates our church. I know that. The devil hates our dreams for our building. And the last thing that the devil wants is to turn that piece of property that's vacant into a church that can be a lighthouse to the community, not just for Shelby Township, but for the region. I believe that. We have a slide that we showed on Christmas Eve of all the dreams, the way we want our building to be used for. And if you could show that arch, just leave it up there for a bit. Just the different dreams we have. So we knew that buying a building was not going to be easy. There would be a battle for it. And so as we get to the next chapter, I want to talk about one of the main weapons we need to use to fight on our spiritual journey. And it's not what you think. So I titled the next chapter, Zakar. Zakar is a Hebrew word in the Bible. I'll explain what it means in a bit. So we have a board meeting on January the 6th. This is the one I talked about up front. It was a 3-hour meeting that became a 5-hour meeting. We reviewed the latest estimates of the build-out costs. We reviewed the projected cash flow. We talked about all that we had prayed about as an executive team, as an advisory board, all 8 of us in the room since our last meeting, and we shared what we felt God was saying. And it was a great meeting. Again, 5-hour board meeting. And I loved it. I seriously did. Because I love everybody in that room. And one of the things we talked about in the journey of that meeting was the journey we've been on when it came to this building. A journey that, again, we've been taking one step at a time. And in that meeting, we became Zakar. And I'll explain what that means. In the first book of the Bible, it says this in the creation account about God creating Adam and Eve. In the book of Genesis, verse 27, chapter 1. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And the word male there in the Hebrew is zakar. It actually means remembering one. Adam was a remembering one, which means we are remembering ones. It's a key thought. We are created to remember both the words of God and the works of God. We are created to remember both the words of God and the works of God. And so with that key thought in mind, again, before I explain how the board was Zakar that day, I want to give you, again, a personal action step for your spiritual journey. And this, again, is one of those action steps I pray don't just do once for 10 minutes tonight, but something that becomes part of your spiritual journey. And it's simply this: be a Zakar. Be a Zakar. Be a remembering one. Remember the words of God, the works of God. Spend time slowing down, asking God to bring to mind, to remind you ways he's been faithful to you, ways he has provided for you, mountains he has moved, answers to prayer you've forgotten about. So January the 6th, we did that. We talked through the journey we had been on with this building, and we began to remember the words and the works of God. Here's a slide of what I call Zakar for this building. We remembered how God said back in September of 2016, now is the time. First time in the history of the church, we felt released by God to pursue a building, full steam ahead, to raise the funds. We remembered the success of Family on Mission. That's a huge step for our church. When we did that campaign, we had no idea how people would respond. That day, we're like, hey, come up front, put your pledge card in, and then come take communion. And we weren't sure, is anybody just going to walk up front and just walk over to communion, you know? Hey, nice hat, you know, nice little thing there. We had no idea if anyone was to put anything in this house. No idea. But instead, almost $700,000 was pledged. Remember that. Here's something that I have not ever shared publicly that we also discussed and remembered that day. Back in August, there were three buildings that we were considering taking steps towards buying. We decided to do a secret ballot on 3x5 cards. Dave and Chris Carlson were there, along with everyone else on our advisory board. And we asked them, okay, secret ballot, just pray God, lead us and guide us. We had a lot of conversations. Off the top of the three, what do you feel like God's saying? How is God leading us? What's your top choice? You get to write one location on this index card, turn them into me. And I was like, all right, let's see what happens. And I read them, and all eight of them, 24 in Shelby, 24 in Shelby, 24 in Shelby, 24 in Shelby, 8 out of 8. And I'm like, man, thank you, God, for clarity. So remember that. We also remembered how the previous month, December of 2017, was the biggest giving month in the history of our church. And 2017 was the biggest giving year in the history of our church. Here are the numbers. It's crazy. $114,000 given to the building fund and the general fund just in one month, and a total of $667,000 given for the year. Highest ever, by far. Remember that. And we felt those data points were significant because it says people are all in. We also remembered the favor that God gave us with the building owner again and again. We remembered the favor that God gave us with Shelby Township again and again. So when it came to the cash shortfall of $515,128, in the board meeting, in that 5 hours of discussion and prayer and being Zakar, we felt like in some ways history was repeating itself. But this time it was not just Kelly and me up on the 10-meter high dive by ourselves. It was our entire church family. But this time we're looking down and there is water in the pool. There just needs to be 515,128 more gallons. So the temptation is to tell God, God, if you fill this pool the rest of the way, then we'll jump. And God replies, you jump first. So in the board meeting, we felt like God was telling us to jump first. In other words, this, to continue to take steps one step at a time toward buying this building. And then on the other side, building it out. And to pray as we do it, to ask God to give us greater faith as we do it, to ask God to provide, to move mountains. And we felt like a key step in that journey was to invite all of you into it. That we want these conversations and discussions and decisions just go on behind closed doors with eight people in it. To invite you into this journey, into what I'm calling the unfolding God story, because this is not just Kelly and my story. It's not just our board story or our executive story. It is our story, our church family's story. And I say this, when God comes through, when God provides, our faith, our collective faith is going to get so much bigger. It's not just going to be the faith of Kelly and me that's built up this time. When we launch a church, when everything in the world was against us. And this time you won't be hearing the story secondhand, but you'll be able to tell that story to your kids and your grandkids about how God showed up. It's our story. So that's chapter 6. Two more chapters to go. These are quicker. I call this next chapter, The Pool is Filling. Which you're probably going, whew, it's a good chapter. Unpack that. Take your time. Thank you, Jesus. I mean that. I have loved working on this sermon. I seriously have. It is, seriously, and even talking to Kelly about it and processing through, like, I love this. Chapter 7, The Pool is Filling. Again, going back, the initial build-out estimate was just over $1 million, and that led us to an estimated cash flow of $515,128. So that was the number we all received. That was the amount we knew that needed to be moved. The question was, well, how do you reduce it? How do you get that number to zero? So we decided to begin to fire in every direction possible. And this, by the way, is very much a work that is still in progress. We have a slide of some of the things that we've begun to go after, and this is very recent history here over the past week, week and a half. Some potential cost reductions that we're pressing into. We had a meeting with the building owner last Wednesday, I think it was, Tuesday, and we were as transparent as possible about our cash shortfall, and I feel like God showed up right in the middle of this family diner. God moved in her heart, and she agreed to significant concessions that is really going to help our shortfall. Dave and Chris met with the architect the following day, and God showed up once again. And more that I can share about that, but ton of meetings, ton of conversations, a lot of things going on. I want to walk you on this journey of how the pool is filling. Again, the original shortfall, so this is a cascade, the original shortfall back in December about a month ago was $515,128. We felt like God said, you jump first, and I'll fill it. So again, that's additional money we need in the bank as we do our build-out. So that number, through talking to the building owner, architect, conversations, went from $515,000 to $311,995, which is a lot better number than 515. But there's an ellipsis because it doesn't stop there. God continued to fill the pool. Ken can't go into all of it, but it was then lowered, the next estimate, to $230,102. A lot better number than the 311, but there's one more ellipsis. God continues to fill the pool, and the current estimate is 180,102, which is pretty awesome. I mean, that's a good number. Pool filling. God faithful. Again, it's a cash flow shortage that needs to be made up. We need to get that number to zero. There's a mountain that still needs to be moved, but the mountain's smaller. From more water in the pool. And just so you know, something that I've said over and over again, even when I got the first estimate, the 515,000 estimate, back in December, I sent an email out to the board, to the executive team, and I said, and I ended it with this. I said, for me, faith is rising. Just a phrase for me. I felt like God gave me this phrase. I'm washing the dishes in our kitchen sink. I'm talking to Kelly about it. Shortfall, 515,000. I'm like, gosh, man, God. And all of a sudden, I felt like God's, faith is rising. Wash the pans. Faith is rising. I'm like, I feel like God just gave me a word. Faith is rising. So I share that with the board and we're processing that. By the way, that's going to be the title of my sermon next Sunday. Faith is rising. But I'm ahead of myself. For today, I want to share one more chapter, and it's chapter 8. It's called To Be Continued. Again, what I want to be upfront, open, and honest, and to invite you in on the journey, and explain the challenges that are still in front of us. Because again, it can't just be the prayers of the advisory board, and executive team, 8 people. It needs to be all of our prayers to get us into this building. Sonia Kohler said during the campaign that we're not going to get in this building from the ground up. We're going to get into it from the knees up. And it's true. That was prophetic. It was prophetic. It's not just 8 people praying. It's the church praying. It's not just the faith of 8 people. It's the church's faith. It's our journey. And so I want to give you some action steps that I hope, though the previous ones, and I gave you a bunch of them, were individual for your personal journey. These are collectively, I hope we press into as a church family. And I'm going to go through these very quickly because I'm over time. The first is fasting for breakthrough. Cannot talk about a theology of why fasting works, but fasting is powerful. Fasting amplifies prayers. It's throughout Scripture. And so I encourage you, for those of you who fast, please fast in some format for the building. Next is prayer. Prayer, not only individually, but also I encourage you to do prayer walks and prayer drives around the building. I've been doing that. Walking around the building, talking out loud without any earbuds in. I don't care if people think I'm crazy. I'm just praying around the building, drive around the building. And then finally, this is so important. This, again, this is a key step that we felt we want to take as an advisory board, as an executive team, is to get your feedback and questions. And so the last action step is got a question or a comment. And as I was teaching today, some of you are very quick processors and you have 10 questions just came to mind. And so you'd love to ask those right now. We're not doing open mic today, but if you could, you have them right now on the back of your prayer card. This is important. On the back of your prayer card, and if you need another prayer card because you already filled the one out with your prayer request, please put your name on the front and the back of your prayer card. Any questions that you have, fill those out. When the offering pouch is passed, you can drop it in, and we can get those answered. Others of you, and this is where I'm in this camp, I'm more of a processor. So my best question, if I was in your seat, will happen at 4 o'clock today or 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Just take some time to kind of have things percolate. And so for you, Tom Petz created a button on our website, and we have, this is our homepage, tevchurch.org, and on the lower left corner it says, got a question about the building, and there's a message board. It's private. You can fill that out, and we want your feedback. Now, you can fill that out whenever you want to, but we are having another board meeting this coming Saturday, so it'd be very, very helpful, honestly, because I'm a processor, to get your questions in time for us to process them. And so if you could do that, maybe by Wednesday this week, that'd be great. Like over the next 3-4 days, pray through any questions you have, anything at all. We want the feedback. And then we're going to figure out the best way to answer them, especially the questions that are asked by more than one person. And then next Sunday, we're going to continue this journey. Again, my sermon title is called Faith is Rising. And in part of that sermon, I plan to share stories of pastors I know and churches I know. This is just part of the sermon. But pastors and churches I know that have run into similar headwinds when they were in the process of buying their building and building out. Trust me, we are not like treading new ground here. And as we look at their stories, their testimonies, and we say, do it again, Lord. How, God, did you provide? God, how did you move mountains? So that's part of what next week's sermon is going to be about. But for now, I want to end with this quote from a book called The Circle Maker from Mark Batterson. I'll just read this to you. And this is going to be my final prayer. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or boldest prayers. He is offended by anything less. If your prayers aren't impossible for you, they are insulting to God. Why? Because they don't require divine intervention. But ask God to part the Red Sea, and God is moved to omnipotent action. It is absolutely imperative at the outset that you come to terms with this simple yet life-changing truth. God is for you. If you don't believe that, then you'll pray small, timid prayers. But if you do believe it, you'll pray big, audacious prayers. And we have 180,000 reasons to pray big, audacious prayers. Let me pray. So God, I pray you give us boldness, that you build our faith. I pray, God, and I thank you for just carrying me along in this sermon. I thank you, God, for each person that is here today, for those who will watch it online, to hear the podcast. God, that you would build our faith collectively. And God, that we would have a front row seat, and I thank you for the front row seat to see how you're going to move mountains and how you're going to provide. We worship you, Lord. Amen.